Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The path to an NFL championship starts in 32 unique locker rooms across the country.
I ain't blinking. Don't you blink. You blink, I'll cut your eyelids off.
But only one can achieve football immortality.
Fires into the end zone.
Which one of these Saturday Supermen will carry their programs all the way to the championship game?
Loads up, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown! Alabama, the champion of college football!
Football's journey is documented here.
Leave no doubt!
Every weekend, with your host, D.A., it's Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
Touchdown! And happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. Wherever you are, however you're listening, thanks so much for joining us. Coming up this hour on the show, Vegas virtuoso Nick Kostos will join us from CBS Sports HQ and help us break down the lines across today's NFL action. Also, we'll hear from Ian Rappaport on what is the problem in Jacksonville with the Jaguars' usually stout defense. And Tim Brando, one of the voices of college football for such a long time, has an interesting theory on what happens long-term if Notre Dame makes this college football playoff. It's all coming up straight ahead this hour on the show. And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. You can always dial us up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, that's DA on CBS. I know Sunday mornings are a busy time for a lot of people, so whether you're running around, trying to get stuff done, running errands, shopping, maybe tailgating, getting the kids to practice, or doing whatever, you can always take us with you on all of your chores. Perhaps you're going to church, on your way back from church. You can take us with you on your phone. Listen to us using the CBS Sports app or the Radio.com app or Apple Music or watch the simulcast at WatchDA.com. We're coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
They're doing 500 knots.
Roger, that's your bogey.
Airspeed is still increasing.
Wood, you got them?
Not yet, I can't see them. They must be close.
Yeah, attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot. This is CBS Sports Radio, over.
A beautiful, wondrous, perfect opportunity in the Pac-12 yesterday. National TV, college game day in the house. Oregon at number 12. The only loss of the season, the only blemish being losing that lead at home to Stanford a couple of weeks ago. Oregon with a win over Washington State would have total control over the Pac-12 North, a road right into the Pac-12 championship game. And you know what? A one-loss Oregon team who had lost a lead kind of in a fluky, weird way against a good Stanford team might have a legitimate case for the college football playoff. And so Oregon comes into a big game, big night, national TV, and
two running backs in the backfield. Dump off, Borgie fingertip, makes a man miss at the 10, sprints to the goal line, touchdown! Near side of the field, 15-yard run, and the Cougs have blown it wide open! And this place is bonkers! 26-0, Cougs are blasting the Ducks!
That's Washington State's call on the IMG Radio Network. It was 27-0. And so now you might say, well, DA, how about Washington State in the college football playoff? Look, you can't talk about that because look at their wins. Their non-conference wins are against Wyoming, San Jose State, Eastern Washington. That was their first win over a ranked team, and they might not get another one. We have to see what the Apple Cup holds with Washington, but the Huskies have two losses. The Pac-12 is desperate for that credibility. They are desperate to be taken seriously as a football conference. But when USC is down, and Oregon's not back to where they were, and UCLA looks like this, and Washington has two losses, you look around and go, well, who's going to fly the banner for you? Who's going to fly the flag for you? And yesterday was a chance for Oregon, and they faltered. Look, I really like what Mario Cristobal has going there. But at the end of the day, who's going to step up and be the power team in that conference? And if Washington State is going to be that, I'm sorry, they're just not going to get that invite to the college football playoff. I just don't think their schedule is going to be strong enough to do that. They were ranked number 25 coming into this game. It is a conference that is eating itself. It's a conference where there is not an elite, elite team, and it's going to keep them out of the playoff again this year. Now, speaking of the playoff, Ohio State had all the designs on getting there, and yet last night got absolutely hammered by Purdue.
Knox makes a move. 35-30. He may go. 20-10-5. Touchdown, Knox. DJ Knox from 40. And Purdue again blowing it open.
We have good players, good coaches, and we're going to get to work. We lost a game last year and came right back. So we have good guys, and we're going to work our, you know, what's off and get this thing right.
Woof. That was Purdue Radio on the call. Let me tell you, Tim Newton on Learfield. The Ohio State defense had cracks in it, but they were able to spackle it up all season long because Dwayne Haskins and the rest of that offense could put up major points. Yesterday, that defense absolutely got exposed, trashed, ripped apart, annihilated by Purdue. There was huge gaping holes to run through. There were broken tackles all over the place. There were busted coverages. Purdue took advantage of them all, and I give Purdue a ton of credit. But Purdue started the season 0-3. The Boilermakers started the season 0-3 and just hung 49 points on the Buckeyes. I think the Buckeyes were frauds. They were not as good as their record and ranking would indicate. And that defense finally did them in. But I'll also tell you, lack of discipline did them in. 10 different penalties. And they weren't ready. They were not ready for what came up and bit them last night against Purdue. So I think there's a lot of blame to go to Urban Meyer's feet because that team wasn't ready. They were undisciplined. They played sloppy football, and the defense was a disaster, an absolute disaster. And how about Purdue? Started the season 0-3, have now ripped off four straight wins. Dwayne Haskins ends up having a huge day yet again, 470 yards through the air, but he had to throw 73 times because they were down the entire game. And that now opens up the door for a one-loss SEC team, when you think about it. Because, as I said, the Pac-12 is not going to get a lot of love for the college football playoff. Their best teams have two losses, or it's Washington State. And I don't think the Cougars are going to be anywhere near the playoff. The Big 12 had designs, except Oklahoma then stubbed its toe in the Red River rivalry. You have Notre Dame in there. You have Clemson in there. You have Alabama or the winner of the SEC. Well, let me tell you, Georgia's got one loss. They could still get to an SEC title game. And LSU has one loss and gets to take on Alabama in a couple of weeks. And LSU's playing great football. I'll put it this way. With the Pac-12 and the Big 12 doing what they're doing and faltering, it's left open that fourth spot in the playoff. And that's even assuming that Clemson ends up there or that Notre Dame ends up undefeated, which I don't think they will be. But think about this. LSU could beat Alabama, and then Alabama didn't even play in the SEC title game. And then you'd put in the SEC champion, and would you put in a one-loss Alabama team that only lost to the champ, LSU, a month ago when you finally get there? I think you would. Same thing for Georgia. If Georgia ends up running the table the rest of the way, and then knocking off Alabama in Atlanta, would they put in both Georgia and Alabama? I think with how the Pac-12 and the Big 12 have faltered this year, it's absolutely on the table. But if Ohio State's loss taught us anything, it's don't count your chickens before they hatch. And finally, the Kansas City Chiefs were rolling right along up until they hit the Bill Belichick-Tom Brady combination in Foxborough. And so coming off their first loss of the season, what happens today against the Cincinnati Bengals?
Every experience, I feel like it's a learning experience. And being able to play in two primetime games already and then having another one at Arrowhead, I mean, it's really exciting.
That's the Muppet known as Patrick Mahomes. Guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and he talks like he's a member of Fraggle Rock. But I'll tell you, this is an interesting game coming up here tonight. The Kansas City Chiefs at home at Arrowhead Stadium. They flex this into a Sunday night game. So Bengals in KC to take on the Chiefs. And if you've ever been to Arrowhead Stadium, it is one of those spiritual experiences football-wise. Come over the hill, you see the complex, Kauffman Stadium, Arrowhead Stadium, the barbecue smoke waft. The smoke comes up, and the parking lot is filled with red, and they're tailgating, and they're drinking, and they're smoking brisket, and they're eating burn ends, and they're having a good time. Then you get into that stadium, and it's home of the Chiefs, and it is just a beautiful moment, and they'll get it tonight. Cincinnati coming to town. I want to see how Patrick Mahomes rebounds, because he played a great game in Foxborough against the Patriots. Great game. And it obviously was not his fault, at least in the second half. He had those interceptions in the first half. But let's see the Kansas City Chiefs play a good opponent. Bengals are 4-2, coming off of a loss. Do they straighten out the ship, right it, and then just get back to winning? Or is this something that knocks them off course? The Bengals are solid. Don't take them lightly. I'm going to take them lightly in January, but not in the regular season. Kansas City, though, is one of the best teams in football. At home, Sunday night, national TV. You got to win this game if you're KC and Patrick Mahomes. And we get him Sunday night football, two nights in a row, a chance to watch that offense and that kid play quarterback. Sign me up every single Sunday night. Love watching him. When we come back here on the show, our Vegas virtuoso, Nick Kostos, joins us from CBS Sports HQ to look at some of the lines around the NFL and tell us what he likes and what he does not like. And also later on in the hour, we'll hear from Tim Brando on that theory about Notre Dame getting to a college football playoff and what it would mean long-term for the expansion of the playoff. D.A., Damon Amendolara with you each and every Sunday here on Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds with our resident sharp, Nick Kostos, to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again. Only on CBS Sports Radio.
DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us. And we welcome in Nick Kostos from CBS Sports HQ, our resident sharp. Nick, good morning.
DA, good morning. Always great to be with you here on the mothership, and it is a lucky week number 7 in the National Football League. I am feeling lucky, and I think we got some winners to dole out to the great listeners, sir.
Okay, very good. Let's start with the Patriots and the Bears in Chicago. Rob Gronkowski did not make the trip. He is inactive against the Bears today. Patriots are the favorite by about 1.5. How does Gronk's absence affect how you look at this line and look at this game?
Really think it affects it that much, and I actually think there's actually value now with the New England Patriots. I would have considered backing the Bears when this number was at 3.5 earlier in the week when Chicago was +3.5. Rob Gronkowski at this point right now, given the fact that he's been largely ineffective this season, I don't think he's worth a point to the point spread. And I think you're going to see Josh Gordon have a big game here. Josh Gordon's been getting ramped up. His targets have doubled every week. And you're going to see Brady force feed him the ball. So this is now turned into either a stay away spot for me, or I kind of want to lay it with the Patriots on the road. Now, the Bears, again, are the sharper side. That number was at 3 and it has come down, but I would have only done the Bears if it were +3, +3.5. It's a stay away for me, and if I had to take the game, I would actually still lay it with the Rob Gronkowski-less New England Patriots.
What's the number you like best that jumps out to you this week?
Oh, I like the Washington Redskins. Now, you know, so last week I gave you the Redskins and it was a winner. 2 weeks ago I gave you the Redskins on Monday night against the Saints and it was a loser. I'm going back to the hail to the Redskins well today at home against the Dallas Cowboys. And I know the Redskins are down a number of pass catchers for Alex Smith, but I'm more focused on that defense. There is no way, no chance in hell that Dak Prescott on the Cowboys offense puts up a similar performance to what they did last week when they dropped 40 on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Redskins grind out a low-scoring game. I think the Redskins are the better team. I think the Redskins are still going to win the NFC East. So give me the Redskins to beat the Cowboys. And right now the Redskins are a home underdog. I love the value there. I like the Redskins at -2. So I really like them. Dare I say love them at +1.
Nick Costo, CBS Sports HQ, our resident sharp here. So you like Washington to beat Philadelphia in the NFC East, huh?
I do. And I think the Panthers will cover today in Philly against the Eagles. And I would not be shocked if Carolina won that game outright. And I love the spot for the Panthers here in this game. Panthers coming off the loss last week to the Redskins. Eagles coming off the Thursday night drubbing of the Giants. People are wondering, why is the spread so low? The answer, because Carolina's going to keep it close. Heavy wind in Philadelphia. Think that helps Cam Newton and the Panthers offense more than it helps Carson Wentz and the Eagles. So I think the Panthers will keep it close in Philly and maybe even win that game.
So just down the road from Philly is Baltimore, and the Saints are in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. This is such an interesting matchup. We had Deuce McAllister on last hour to talk about this thing. Ravens have one of the best defenses in the NFL. The Saints always have one of the best offenses in the NFL. So what gives here? The Ravens are favored by 2.5 points. What do you look at here?
Oh, I think that there's great value here with the home side, the Baltimore Ravens here at under -3 here, at -2.5. It's really the only way that I would look. This is a lay it or don't play it scenario for me with the favorite. And I know the Saints have been tremendous, 8-1 in the last 9 years against the spread, coming off the bye with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. But this is a very tough task. It's a Ravens team, and I feel like we're going back to the future here a little bit. That might end up, and with all apologies to the Kansas City Chiefs, being the biggest challenger to the New England Patriots, like it was 5 or 6 years ago. So I like the Ravens here. It's not one of my favorite plays, because I do think the Saints obviously are a very good team, but it's lay it or don't play it for me. Ravens are nothing in that game.
Sunday night football, we were just talking about this. Bengals are in Kansas City tonight to take on the Chiefs. Kansas City coming off of that loss last Sunday night against the Patriots. Bengals are a good team. They're 4-2. Chiefs are 5-1. Chiefs, this is a big number. Chiefs favored by 6. Is that too big a number?
I think it is, yeah. And the reason why is because this Chiefs defense, again, is absolutely terrible. Now, Kansas City could very well win the game, and the Chiefs have been an ATS buzzsaw. You know, they lost last week, but they did cover the spread, which in the eyes of some like me is more important. But Cincinnati's going to score a ton of points in this game. Joe Mixon's going to have a big game. A.J. Green's going to have a big game. Andy Dalton, Tyler Boyd, C.J. Uzomah at the tight end. I think Cincinnati's going to score a lot of points. I don't know if the Bengals are going to win the game, but I do think they're going to fall inside that number. I think this number is too big. I like Cincinnati.
Nick Costos joins us, CBS Sports HQ, our resident sharp here on the show every single Sunday morning. Vikings and Jets. People coming around in Sam Darnold. Jets have won a couple of games in a row, and yet this one on the road at MetLife Stadium for the Vikings, and they're still favored by more than a field goal. Right now it's 3.5. That hook is very interesting here. What do you think about Vikings and Jets? Vikings favored by 3.5.
Yeah, with the hook, I'm going to take the points with the home team here, and I'm going to take the New York Jets. And, you know, the weather is expected to be a little inclement. I don't know if there's going to be precipitation, but it is very windy at MetLife Stadium, and that could adversely affect things for Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, and that Vikings passing game. And one thing that we have seen from the Jets, and Isaiah Crowell is going to play, they've been rushing the football very well with Crowell and Bilal Powell. And if this turns into that sort of game where the Jets are able to keep it on the ground, control time of possession, and the wind is a huge factor here because the Jets are down Tremaine Johnson, Buster Screen, two cornerbacks, Marcus May, one of their safeties. If that wind's a big-time factor, that's going to help the Jets who are down those three players in their secondary. I think the Jets keep this close. I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled the outright upset. For me, I'm taking the points or nothing with Gangrene.
Ah, interesting. I want to ask you about the Dolphins because they host the Lions. The Dolphins are 4-2. We had that remarkable performance by Brock Osweiler where you're still licking your wounds betting against Brocktober. The question is, at 4-2, are the Dolphins a good football team?
No, of course not. No, they're not a good football team. Now look, they weren't a good football team a couple of years ago when they went 10-6, snuck into the wild card round and got pasted by the Steelers in that game. So Miami could keep winning some games theoretically against lesser competition, and they could very well win this game today. And if I'm picking this game, I'm taking the Dolphins as home underdogs here, and I do actually think that this line is a little out of whack. It does worry me a little bit, Matt Patricia against Brock Osweiler, that would seem to be a mismatch, but Dolphins at home, the Lions aren't good enough to be a 2.5-point road favorite in this game against Miami. So, no, I don't think the Dolphins are good. But yes, I would take the Dolphins in this game against Detroit.
We know that the Rams are far superior to the Niners. We know that home field advantage won't mean much. West Coast, California, I think there's going to be plenty of Rams fans in San Francisco, Santa Clara. But it's a big number. The Rams favored by 9 points on the road. Too rich for your blood?
D.A., I will offer this caveat before I make my pick for this game. Sharp money's on the San Francisco 49ers, and a lot of people that I respect are on the San Francisco 49ers. But me personally, I'm on the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I've been on with you all season. You know, a couple weeks ago, Rams in Seattle, favored by a touchdown. I took the Seahawks. Seahawks covered. Last week, favored by a touchdown in Denver against the Broncos. I took the Broncos. The Broncos covered. Three straight road games for the Rams. I don't care. The Rams are going to pace the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers looked good in primetime, and that's why people are kind of liking San Francisco, right? Because C.J. Beathard and the Niners almost just beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Not going to happen this week. Huge game for Jared Goff. I'm talking 300 yards, 3 to 4 touchdowns for Jared Goff. Todd Gurley's going to run wild. This is a mismatch. I think the Rams win this game somewhere in the vicinity of 40-14. But again,
ooh,
caveat, a lot of people that I really respect like the Niners, I just happen to feel differently in this spot.
Okay, interesting. Let's wrap up with Texans and Jaguars, because where else would you rather be but Houston and Jacksonville coming up later on today. You know, the Jacksonville defense got shredded last week by Dallas. And who knows, Leonard Fournette out still. They have to trade for Carlos Hyde. They are favored by 3.5 points in this game, and the Texans have ripped off a couple of games in a row. What do you think about Jaguars favored by 3.5 at home today?
And, you know, it's not just DA last week against the Cowboys. They got pasted a couple weeks ago in Arrowhead by the Chiefs. The Jaguars defense has given up 70 points in the last 2 weeks. Well, that ain't happening today, because the Houston Texans can't run the ball worth a lick. Lamar Miller, 39 carries for 101 yards in his last 3 games, and they've allowed 25 sacks this season. And I think this is a bounce-back smash spot for that Jaguars front seven here against an overmatched Texans offensive line. And I think this is actually going to be, dare I say it, a Blake Bortles game.
Ooh.
I kind of like Blake Bortles in daily fantasy this week. Stack him with D.D. Westbrook. I think the Jaguars are going to dominate this game, win by double digits. I am not on board with the line movement towards the Houston Texans, taking it down from 4 or 4.5 to 3.5. I think this will be an easy win for Jacksonville against a Texans team that, quite honestly, is a fraudulent 3-3.
Interesting. Nick Costos joining us here on the show. Now, he continues with breaking down the lines and how Vegas is looking at things with Sportsline on CBS Sports HQ. So watch that Sportsline and the Sports Edge there. You'll get the edge there for your looking at the games and how Vegas is looking at the games and where you might want to lay a little chicken seed over there. CBS Sports HQ, watch them there. And the rest of those guys do a tremendous job. And also follow him on Twitter for the latest, The Costos, at The Costos. Brother, it's always good to catch up. You enjoy your football Sunday. We'll do it again next week.
DA, looking forward to it. I got one more quick one for you. I know your guy Mraz is at Giants-Falcons tomorrow night in Hotlanta.
Yeah.
Forget the points. Giants win the game tomorrow night.
Plus, is that right? Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, they're going to put up a ton of points. Eli's going to have a good game, a bounce-back game. Everyone's buried Eli Manning. Everyone's buried the New York football Giants, including me. Here's the thing. Falcons aren't any good either. Giants are going to go in there. Maybe they won't win the game, but the game will be very close. Come down to the final possession. And, yeah, I do think the Giants are going to win the game. Yeah, but I'll say it. Giants win Monday Night Football in Atlanta.
This is a man that gives you his juice. He gives you his picks. He gives you the information you need. And he even throws the bonus stuff in there like that. Nick Costos. Thank you, bud.
Thanks, DA.
Nick Costos joining us every single Sunday morning. When we come back here on the show, how about this? Tim Brando had an interesting theory on my show this week about what happens if Notre Dame makes the college football playoff. With Ohio State losing yesterday, that ends up looking maybe more and more likely by the minute. We'll hear that coming up here next and also give you your football forecast. And what's wrong with the Jaguars defense? Ian Rappaport weighs in. DA, Sunday Morning Football.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, DA. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
And now we're toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. I had Avery Williamson, linebacker for the New York Jets, join me in studio this week. And he was such a great conversation. And this is his first year with the Jets. He signed as a free agent from the Titans in the offseason. I said, well, give me the breakdown internally. You're a linebacker. You play defense. You're going up against Sam Darnold in practice. You're watching what he does in Sundays in the games. What are you seeing? Give me the firsthand breakdown of a young rookie quarterback.
Poise and hard work. Poise and hard work.
So you can tell, even as a rookie, he's putting in the time.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like those two, I'm not around him 24-7, but I feel like he's definitely, I mean, seeing him on the practice field and I feel like just talking to him when I do, I can tell that he's definitely he's keeping his head down and grinding, man. That's what you need at a quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially being young.
Exactly.
A lot of distractions, you know, especially being in the city. I feel like he's handling it well.
Yeah.
And you know, even when things go bad, you know, I feel like he definitely doesn't get flustered, doesn't let it get to him.
Part of the pressure of being a rookie quarterback is that you are compared to all of the other rookie quarterbacks. And when Baker Mayfield does what he did against the Jets on that Thursday night, everybody goes, oh, Baker's the real deal. And then you might have a big play from Josh Allen. And people go, oh, Josh Allen, he's the next guy. You might have a big play by Josh Rosen. Those have been few and far between. But, and then you're in New York, and you have to keep building and ascending or else people think that you're a bust. They're quick to jump off the bandwagon and criticize you. I think Sam Darnold's been great. I don't think he's been consistent, but that's okay. You're a rookie quarterback. There should be flashes. It doesn't need to be a constant. It doesn't need to be every single week be better than the last. That's unrealistic. I think Darnold's been fine, and I think exactly what Avery Williamson just said. Poise. He just never looks like the moment is too big. He never looks like he is scared or skittish or erratic. He looks inexperienced at times, but he does not look like, oh my God, I'm not ready for this. And I think that's so interesting because the other quarterback in town has been there for 15 years. He has won two Super Bowls. He'll one day be in the Giants Ring of Honor, and he is the one that looks like the spot is too big for him, Eli Manning. You put Eli behind an offensive line like this, his skills are eroding with a new coach and a very combative and emotional wide receiver that's demanded the football, and Eli Manning does not look in control of the situation. Meantime, a rookie quarterback does in New York, and that's Sam Darnold. Meantime, Ian Rappaport, you know him, NFL Network, NFL Media, all over the league, and I asked him this week, hey, after giving up 40 points to the Cowboys, and this was coming on the heels of Jason Garrett trying to get run out of town by most Cowboys fans for lackluster play calling and a pathetic offense, how did the Jaguars defense give up 40 points to the Dallas Cowboys? What is wrong with them?
Well, I think we got two things happening. You know, let's start with the Cowboys, though. I mean, what we saw was 2016 Cowboys. We saw Dak runs. We saw a defense having to really account for him. And he's a good runner. I mean, not, you know, a scramble-to-throw kind of guy. I mean, he is a legitimate good runner. And, you know, them, a defense having to account for him makes it hard because Zeke is also pretty good. And, you know, the fact that they don't quite have the weapons they would really need on offense, just as far as overall skill guys, means that they decided to utilize Dak like that, and it was hard. And I think, you know, the Jaguars probably did not come in ready for that. And they looked bad doing it. I think that's one part of it. The other part of it is they are talented, obviously, but they have not been getting the quarterback like they need to. And, you know, Jalen Ramsey's great on his post-game interview yesterday was not great, but as a player, he's great. But the secondary needs to work in concert with the front seven, and it has not been the case. They have not been getting enough pressure. There haven't been enough easy picks, and someone needs to help each other.
Now, that was Rap on Monday talking about Jalen Ramsey and his mumbling silliness after the loss last weekend. And I think Jalen Ramsey came off looking like such a child. I don't mind if you can't answer questions because you're emotional or you don't, there's not much to say, but you can't desire the camera, look for the microphone, say all these crazy things of the offseason when everything's great, and then the moment that you lose a football game, mumble your way through one-word answers. If you're not a talker, you're not a talker. That's fine. That's totally fine. Not everybody has to be Deion Sanders. But it looks completely childish to, when you're winning, ask cameras and writers and microphones and give great quotes. It seems childish to do that when you're winning, and then when you're losing, mumble through your answers like you're a six-year-old that doesn't want to eat your peas. But Rapp is right about the Jaguars. They're not getting nearly the pressure they did last year, and that creates everything in that defense, which is weird because they've not – it's not been age. It's not been injuries. It's just been lack of effectiveness within that defense. And they'll be tested again today because Deshaun Watson – look, they're knocking the crap out of Deshaun Watson because that offensive line stinks in Houston, but obviously Deshaun can get at a lot of grasp. He can avoid a lot of tackles. And the Jaguars have their work cut out for them today. In the meantime, Tim Brando, talked to us about the interesting kind of butterfly effect of Notre Dame making a college football playoff. Right now, they're undefeated. And if Notre Dame runs the table at 12-0, they will not have a conference championship game, obviously, a 13th data point. But could you keep out a 12-win Notre Dame team? Plenty of you are rooting against Notre Dame because you hate Notre Dame, but Tim Brando says even if you hate Notre Dame, you should be rooting for the Irish.
I'm rooting like mad for them because we need to move this thing from four teams to at least six, and I will tell you, DA, without question, if Notre Dame gets a spot, that's going to mean one less conference champion from the cartel of five, and that's right, that's what I call it. It's a cartel. It's not a consortium. It's a cartel. No one else is invited. It doesn't matter what UCF does. They could win 50 games in a row over four seasons. They're not going to get in. There's a glass ceiling for them, and they don't have a chance. We got to open this thing up, bring more portions of the country involved, so we don't have Clemson, Alabama, Chapter 4 for the fourth consecutive year. So we don't see the same teams every year. I'm rooting hard for Notre Dame. I guarantee you this. If two conferences are left out, and more than likely if Notre Dame gets in, a minimum of two conference champions will be left out, we're going to have issues.
It's an interesting point that Brando brings up, and I think he's right. If Notre Dame gets into this thing, you got two different power conferences that will be up in arms, at the least two different ones. And heck, what happens if you've got two SEC teams in and Notre Dame? You might have three power conferences up in arms. So it's an interesting idea of anarchy and chaos if Notre Dame gets in. Let me also tell you, I totally agree with him on the UCF point. I like that the college football playoff now exists. I like Bill Hancock personally. But when he says that UCF has a path, he's lying because they don't. UCF, as Brando said, could go 13-0 5 years in a row, and they will not be considered a top four team for a college football playoff because, number one, nobody's going to want to play them. If they go 13-0, power conference teams go, I don't want to play UCF. It's only a loss for me. They're a good team. Then we take an L. No thanks. I don't want to lose to a team that's not in the power five. And number two, they don't have a good enough conference schedule to get the credibility or the rankings to move up into the top four. There is not a path. There just isn't. And when Hancock says that, well, Houston was there, Houston could have run the table a couple of years ago and they still would have been left out. If they're going to leave out Big 12 teams, they'll leave out an American team real quick. CBS's Super Bowl season continues today. Right now, live from London, the Titans are taking on the Chargers. It's a 10-6 barn burner. 20 seconds to play in the second quarter. Tom Brady and the Patriots coming off a thrilling win over the Chiefs, collide with the Bears, followed by a big NFC East showdown between the Cowboys and Washington. Wake up today. The NFL Today was on at 9 a.m. Eastern time, and the NFL Today will break you through, or the NFL action on CBS and the NFL Today gang will be with you all day long, bringing you through week 7 of the NFL. Let's get you your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch. It's DA's football forecast.
In Tampa Bay, temperatures are in the 70s. It's cloudy with a 75% chance. The crowd shots look exactly like your yard right now. A lot of red. A lot of brown. Browns are in Tampa Bay today to take on the Buccaneers. And every time you just see swaths of Browns fans, that orange and the brown, and then you have the Bucs fans and the red and the pewter, it's just going to look like a barf bag over there at Raymond James Stadium. So be forewarned if you're watching on Fox today at 1 p.m. Eastern time. It will look like all the things that you did not clean up in your yard this weekend because you pushed off to watch football. In Miami, elsewhere in Florida, temperatures high 80s, maybe even low 90s, sunny, with a 100% chance the Lions look hungover today. You know, a 1 p.m. early kick in Miami when it's hot in late October is always putting a hurting on the NFL team coming into town. I think it's one of the reasons the Dolphins were able to look so good last week against the Bears, despite Brock Osweiler being in the lineup. I think you'll see the same thing today from the Lions. Be forewarned. Bart Scott always tells us this here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. 1 p.m. kick in Miami, you don't want any part of that. Nobody wants any part of that around the league. Late nights on South Beach, hot days. And then finally in Washington, temperatures in the 50s, cloudy, with a 75% chance there's more Cowboys fans at the stadium today, and just a great day of clapping from Jason Garrett. You know he's going to have some sack of Dak Prescott, some third and one that they don't convert, a missed field goal, and just right, guys, we'll get him. We'll get him again. All right, yeah, nice job. Coach, what are you applauding? We didn't get the foot on third and a foot. Yeah, all right, that's okay. That's all right. We'll be there again. That's all right. You know, and I feel good about that because we're coming up on the holiday season, and I just want a guy that's really supportive even if his team's crap. So the Cowboys can, you know, score a field goal today and a loss. That's it. Could end up throwing 10 of 28. Dak Prescott, two pick sixes. Nice job, Dak. Nice job. That's a good job by you, Dak. Well done. That's your football forecast. You can tweet at me, DA, on CBS. DA, come on, really? Look at Alabama's non-conference schedule. Citadel, Lafayette, Arkansas State, come on. As I was talking about a Washington State's non-conference schedule. Yes, except Alabama doesn't need its non-conference schedule to be good because we already know how good they are. They are the defending national champs. They're putting up a bazillion points on just about everybody. In the SEC, they're going to play LSU coming up here in a couple of weeks. They're going to have the SEC title game, which will be against probably a very good Georgia team, perhaps a very good Florida team. There's not a need for them to have a non-conference schedule. I'd rather Alabama play good non-conference teams. I'd rather all of these Power 5 teams play really good non-conference schedules. It's better as a fan. But we don't need that. We don't need them not to play Citadel to know how good they are. They've got a good enough conference schedule, good enough wins, and most of a team back from last year that won a national title. It's not the same as looking at Washington State or anybody else in terms of a non-conference schedule. But yes, I would like the Tide to be able to play better Power 5 teams. It'd be nice if college football finally realized, hey, you know, scheduling FCS teams doesn't do anything for anybody. Let's quit that. All right, that will do it for us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Tom DiBenedetto, executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to AP Anthony Pierno on the Wheels of Steel. Nice job, bud. Thanks to Sam Rubinoff on the Watch DA simulcast of Sunday Morning Football today. Great job back there by Sam. Enjoy your day of football, everybody. I will see you tomorrow morning on my show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.